Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Traditionally, you make a movie first, and then you have a composer write music to it. But New York-based filmmaker Bill Morrison often turns that process on its head. Many of his movies are built from old, decaying silent film stock, and they're edited to fit the music rather than vice versa. His short film Light is Calling was made in tandem with this music by composer Michael Gordon. Michael just left us, but Bill Morrison slides behind the microphone to tell us all about it. Bill, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, John.
So, cutting a film to music, what's the attraction there, and what does that do to your creative process as a filmmaker?
The attraction for me has always been some sort of visual expression of the music. I'm not an instrumentalist myself. I'm a great appreciator of music. And sometimes images jump into my mind that would work well with music, and filmmaking in some way is a way of expressing that.
So the music will trigger the kind of content of the film?
I'll think what would work well with it and then go from there, whether it's archival film or going out and finding that shot. It can be any combination.
Now, in terms of archival footage, you've become pretty well known as the silent film guy because you take things that other film collections would be throwing out, old, decaying, silent film stock, and you repurpose that in a number of your works. What do you see in this stuff that other people didn't?
Well, the clip you just played was from Light is Calling, and I'll use that as an example. We went out to the Library of Congress archive vaults, which are actually, for the moment, housed at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. They're actually in the process of boxing that entire collection up and relocating to Culpeper, Virginia, but that's another story. I have a friend out there who works in the archive, George Williman, and he told me about this amazing duplicate print they had of a 1926 feature, The Bells, directed by James Young and starring Boris Karloff and Lionel Barrymore. And he said, "We have a pristine copy. We have this copy where three of the seven rolls are completely damaged. We're going to throw it away, but maybe you want to look at it before we do." I did. It was had some spectacular decay on it. And getting back to your question, what do I find interesting about that? The decay in this case interacted with the image in such a way that it created two different rhythms. There was the rhythm of on the original film, which I slowed down, and then the rhythm of the decay interacting with that. And in this way, it corresponds to music maybe better than a single image would.
So in a sense, it's almost like hip-hop, the way Grandmaster Flash took a Kraftwerk song as source material, pre-existing song, built a new song out of it. You're taking a pre-existing film and creating a new work of art out of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think when I was beginning to work in this way in the middle of the 80s, I was listening to Public Enemy and, thinking, Nation of Millions, Take the Nation of Millions was a very seminal record for me. And then into the 90s with DJ Shadow. And I've always thought that sampling in music has a very strong correlation in imagery as well.
We're speaking with the filmmaker Bill Morrison, who has a number of events upcoming with different projects, but all of them, Bill, seem to challenge the notion of what a filmmaker is or can be. Is that intentional?
I don't know. It certainly wasn't my design, but I started out as a painter, or a plastic art maker, and have found what's compelling for me about film is where it intersects with the physical world. Whereas, for the most part, and increasingly so, film has become this medium where you don't touch it, and with the digital media, you can't touch it, now when something goes wrong, it goes very, very wrong because you can't get at where the problem is.
But in terms of coming back to what you say about the film being a physical medium, when there is physical decay on the print, There's a very striking part of your mammoth piece, Decasia, which you did with Michael Gordon, where there's a guy boxing, but the person he's boxing with has been completely obscured by this kind of white bubble of, I guess the nitrate has sort of burned away or something.
Right. I mean, in the case of the nitrate stock, it's a very volatile film substance that they stopped using in the 1950s because it was so explosive. In the case of that scene, that was a Fox Movie Tone outtake. Documenting a boxer. I think he was just working out with a bag, though of course there could have been a human behind there, but they would have been really getting pummeled.
But in your film, he's fighting with the void.
He's fighting with the void, exactly. And I found that scene early on in my research for Decasia, and really that was sort of the light bulb shot. That was like, whoa, if we can find this on the, you know, early on, then we can build a film around this, and it really occupies the centerpiece of that film.
This might be the best-known collaboration between composer Michael Gordon and my guest Bill Morrison. Decasia, think of it as Disney's Fantasia, except it's about decay, and this is an excerpt. The piece is called Decasia, and it is a kind of a symphony of music and film, with music by Michael Gordon, who left here a few minutes ago, and a film by my current guest, Bill Morrison. He and Michael Gordon have a short called Who by Water that's screening at the Tribeca Film Festival between April 26th and May 6th. But Bill, in addition to being a filmmaker yourself, you are also a member of the Filmmakers Cooperative here in New York, and you're producing their annual benefit on Monday. Are there any other crazy collaborations between music and film? Are you the exception or are you the rule there at the co-op?
There's certainly a lot of long history of music and film being performed together. What I've found is that what we're doing in a certain way is we're bringing the image to the music afterwards, and therefore the music is composed in its own, with its own integrity, and stands on its own, and really, in most cases, doesn't have a film happening in sight. And this is an attractive way for composers to be approached about a film project because, of course, they're not being asked to tailor their music to a film. They're asking for a film to celebrate or interpret their music. And I know a lot of composers are open to this, you know.
Because it's not trampling on their creative process.
It's not. In a way, it's somebody else giving an interpretation to what they do. And so there hasn't been a lot of resistance in this. And I think actually it's just that filmmaking is so expensive, it's hard for composers certainly to find a filmmaker or to finance a film that would go to their pre-existing music. There isn't a great marketplace for this other than the live presentation of the music. So we've been fortunate in that we've been asked to do some things with a live presentation, but there's an entire archive of films that have already existed that remain open for this kind of interpretation. So the idea of the Filmmakers Co-op benefit was like, look, we got 5,000 wonderful artist films sitting there. We have a city full of composers and musicians who would like to see their music performed with film or maybe even score an existing film. So let's get these things together and let's have a party.
A good example being, surprisingly, Harry Smith, who, you know, we know from his famous Harry Smith anthology of American folk music, but who, as it turns out, was also a sort of avant-garde filmmaker.
Yeah, well, as it turns out, he was a seminal avant-garde filmmaker, painted on films, and to make his early abstractions in the 40s and 50s. Philip Glass has famously performed his etudes with them, and that's sort of become our call to prayer. This is our third year of doing the Filmmakers Co-op benefit, which will be on Monday night, the 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Orensense Center. And each year we've asked Philip to join us to sort of begin doing solo piano, and we show the early films of Harry Smith along with these beautiful piano solo, and that sort of gets everyone in the mood. That's sort of the sacred moment.
All right, here is a little bit of Philip Glass's Etude No. 10, which he has played for one of those Harry Smith avant-garde films. Philip Glass, the Etude No. 10. It wasn't written as film music, but it is now. It's one of the pieces that Philip plays to the films of Harry Smith. And my guest, Bill Morrison, will be producing the annual benefit for the Filmmakers Cooperative here in New York, and Philip Glass and many other musicians will be performing live, Bill Frisell, Clogs, lots of others, on Monday at the Angel Orensance Center on the Lower East Side. They're at Norfolk Street. And Bill, I mentioned the Tribeca Film Festival. You and Michael Gordon have a short that'll be running there. But then there's a big project next month at the Brooklyn Phil with the famous Goretzky Symphony No. 3. What are you doing for that?
That's a collaboration between the Brooklyn Philharmonic and my frequent collaborators, Ridge Theater, Artistic Director Bob McGrath, and Projections Laurie Allender. And we've been asked to do a three-year collaboration with the Brooklyn Philharmonic, and this May 12th will be the first of those three performances.
And so you were out, you were telling me earlier, in a helicopter by the graveyard of ships by Staten Island, taking footage for the May 12th performance.
I don't know if people are familiar, but there's a ton of boats that have just been left to rust in the Raritan River off the southwest corner of Staten Island. Laurie had kayaked around them, and she had mentioned them, and we started thinking how this would be a great way to finish up the piece on the Goretzky piece, the third movement. So hired a helicopter and flew around there, 16-millimeter film. It's beautiful.
You can see the results at BAM, the Brooklyn Philharmonic and Ridge Theater doing the Goretzky Symphony No. 3 on May 12th. Bill Morrison, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for joining us
today. Thanks so much, John. It's a great show. This was wonderful to hear the new piece.
Today, that's it for today's edition of Soundcheck. Tomorrow, Venezuela and El Sistema, a pioneering music education program that has produced some world-class musicians and kept a million inner-city kids off the streets. Also, the New Jersey band Fountains of Wayne plays live. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program produced by Brian Wise, Joel Meyer, and Allison Lichter. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow. Our executive producer is Chris Bannon. We had help today from Michael McLaughlin.